We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
I'd like to speak to us briefly on the subject, making room for God. Making room for God. This has been our theme throughout the year, making room for God. But today I want to speak to us on a specific subject called Start with the Big Rocks. Start with the big rocks. Start with the big rocks. I've got rocks in my hands. And these are the big rocks. These big rocks, they represent things that are important to us in our lives, things that are valuable, things that which we treasure, things that which have meaning in our hearts. It could be your relationship with God. It could be your family, your friends, your peers, your cats, your dogs. It could be anything. Whatsoever that is valuable to you is represented by these big rocks. My ultimate question to us this morning is, what are your big rocks? What are your big rocks? What is important to you? What is important to us as children of God? What are your big rocks? Because once we have identified our big rocks, we intend to gravitate towards them. See, we spend time with the things that which are valuable to us. So what are your big rocks this morning? What's important to you? What actually matters to you? What matters to you? What's valuable to you? Now, judging by the fact that we have gathered here this morning, on a Saturday morning, we're going to be on our beds, we're going to be doing something, hiking, picnics, whatever it is. But judging by the fact that we have gathered here on a Saturday morning, I would like to think that our relationship with God, our devotion to God, is represented by the big rocks. What are your big rocks? What are your big rocks? The good news is, church, many of us actually do understand the big rocks in our lives. We do know the big rocks. Many of us do. But the problem we have is there are also small rocks. These are your everyday stuff that screams for your attention the moment you open your eyes in the morning. I need to catch up on that Netflix show. I need to watch the news. Oh, I'm really interested. Who's going to be the next prime minister? Is it going to be Liz? Is it going to be Sunak? I need to watch the news. I need to do something. I need to catch up on some chores. I need to meet up with some friends. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this and this, this and that. And as soon as we know it, our jars, our lives are filled with the small rocks. Throughout the day, church, we can accumulate so much of these, you know, small rocks that when the time comes, or as soon as we know it, there isn't enough room for the big rocks. There isn't enough rooms. So do you know what happens now? We become frustrated. Oh, we try to fit it in. We try to juggle things around. But guess what? There's still not enough room for the big rocks in our jars. Because we've accumulated the small rocks. So the things that really does matter to us, we find that there's not enough room in our jars, in our lives. And we're like, oh, I know. Maybe I need a bigger jar, or I need more time. But guess what? No one gets a bigger jar. No one gets more time. We all get 24 hours in a day. So what do we do? What do we actually do? What actually happens now? Now that our jars are filled with small rocks, what do we do? Could it be that the formula to making room for God is to start with the big rocks? Could it be? What do you think could happen, church, that in the world that encourages us to start with the small rocks, what do you think would happen if we decided that this conference weekend, that we decided that we will actually turn the formula around and start with the big rocks? We live in the world that everyone, that most people start with the small rocks. Why so? Because when they see the quantity within this jar, they get excited, like, oh, I've done a lot. My jar is full of rocks. But actually, it's the big rocks that matter, not the small rocks. What could happen if we decided that actually we'll change the formula? We'll start with the big rocks. This morning, I want us to look at a woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, a woman that actually started with the big rocks. 2 Kings chapter 4, a woman that actually made a decision to change the formula, to start with the big rocks rather than the small rocks. In 2 Kings chapter 4, media team, if you can help me out. 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible says that one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God." Full stop. Next. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes. Then he can stay there whenever he comes. Now, this chapter opens up with Elisha, who is a prophet, but Elisha traveling to a town called Shunem. Elisha was a man of God, a prophet, who he was to travel in different towns, different cities within the northern kingdom of Israel, doing the Lord's work. He used to travel. So this chapter opens up where Elisha is now in a town called Shunem. Now, as a man of God, he would travel. He would often rely on God to feed him. God would often cause someone to show him kindness, hospitality, for someone to welcome him. Now, back in those days, the Holy Spirit hasn't yet been given to us believers. So the prophets of God represented the true presence of God. So when the prophet was in town, guess what? The presence of God was in town. Elisha lived in the northern kingdom of Israel, like I said. Now, within that time, people weren't so interested in the things of God. People were quite far away from God, actually, at the time. But Elisha would travel, ministering, doing the works of God. Now, in a time such as this, what would cause a woman, a Shunammite woman, to make room for God? What compelled her to start with the big rocks? Reading this text, I'm not seeing anything extraordinary about this woman. I would like to think she's an average person like you and I. But what would compel her to start with the big rocks? I mean, her name is not even mentioned in the Bible. She's known as the Shunammite woman. Yet, she started with the big rocks. Yet, she decided to make room for God. There are three lessons I think we can learn from this woman's life about starting with the big rocks. And the first one is, make God welcome. Or welcome God. Make God welcome. To be welcomed is to be received with gladness. It's to be received with gladness. It's to be appreciated. It's to be honored, to be welcomed. Make God welcome. Verse 8 says, one day when Elisha went to Shunem, a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. It's quite obvious that this woman was prepared, you know, to make room for God. She was prepared to welcome God. I would like to think that she was interested in the things of God. She was invested in God. I know a few guys and women that are interested in investing, you know, and trading. They're interested in investing in trading. What these guys usually do is they often study the market quite intensely, actually. Study the market. They wait for trends. They look for trends. They look for opportunities. They wait for the market to change, for things to shift. Often they'll be sitting there waiting for Elon Musk to tweet. Because whatever Elon Musk tweets, it just shakes things around. They're often waiting. So as soon as Elon Musk tweets, there they are, boom, boom, investing when, you know, on certain products, on certain coins, whatever it may be. They are waiting for opportunities. So it's quite obvious that when you are invested in something or when you're interested in something, you invest your time and resources into it. I'd like to think this woman was interested. She recognized Elisha to be the holy man of God, and she was ready to welcome him. She was ready. The moment Elisha entered Shunem, she was there. Man of God, come to my house. Man of God, come to my house. Come to my house. She was interested. Are we invested in God? Are we invested in the things of God? Are we anticipating and waiting for opportunities to serve God? To welcome God in our homes, in our hearts? Are we invested in the things of God? Man of God, come to my house. Is there still room in our jars for the Holy Spirit to dwell? Is there? Or have we filled our jars with small rocks? Is there? In order for us to make room for God, we need to be anticipating, we need to be looking, we need to be interested, so that when opportunity comes, we have to grab it like this Shunammite woman did immediately. No matter how much it might inconvenience our lives, we have to. When my wife is preparing for guests, you know, she doesn't rest. She doesn't rest until everything is in place. I'm talking about clean bedding, clean towel, spare toothbrush, spare toothpaste. She doesn't rest until everything is in place. And not to talk about the kitchen. See, we... I'm not sure if I can talk about this, but, you know, a few people that have been, you know, they've been married longer than I, they're like, oh, this young man is about to get into trouble. See, we have certain plates in our house. These plates are beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful, these plates. Now, these plates, they don't just come out. They don't just come out. Now, if they come out for me, it means that I've scored some good points. But they don't just come out. They really don't just come out. But when our guests are coming, this plate suddenly they come out. You know, our guests, they don't have to score any points, you know, for those plates to come out. But they actually come out. You know, some amazing plates with decorations, some cutleries. I really don't like because it's so heavy. They come out suddenly. You know, suddenly the guests are there. So that is her way of going above and beyond for her guests. That is her way of investing in her guests to ensure that her guests feel welcomed and appreciated. Amen. That is her way. When was the last time we washed the beddings and the towel for the presence of God to stay over? I'm speaking metaphorically here. When was the last time we brought out those special cutleries to have a meal with God? When was the last time we did that? In order for us to make room for God, we have to welcome the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that this woman, she urged, can you go back to that word, urged. She urged the man of God to come. Verse 8. One day when Elisha went to Shunem, a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. Urged. She urged the man of God to stay for a meal. That word urged is a verb. A verb is an action word. It's a doing word. She urged him to stay for a meal. It actually means to try persistently. To try earnestly or persistently. Urge. That's what that word means. So I can imagine this woman, as soon as the man of God enters town, she's like, man of God, come to my house for a meal. Man of God is like, hey, leave me alone. Man of God, come to my house for a meal. Hey, woman, leave me alone. I'm busy. Man of God, come to my house for a meal. Hey, woman, I am busy. Man of God, come to my house for a meal. Suddenly the man of God is like, you know what? This woman, she'll drain us out if we're done. Gehazi, grab our bags. Let's go to a house for a meal. I would like to think that she was desperate to be of service to God. So she did not just call the man of God. She urged the man of God to come to her house for a meal. She was desperate to be of service to God. Are we desperate to be of service to God, church? The issue with us nowadays, and I very much included, is that we try once, we try maybe twice, and if we don't feel the goosebumps or anything happening, we conclude, you know what? God is not interested. When I gave my life to Christ, right, early days, I gave my life to Christ, it's like my prayers were being answered left, right, and center. I pray for this, God delivers. I pray for this, God gives me. I pray for that, God gives me. But nowadays, it's like God is asking me to go deeper, to urge him, to be persistent, to earnestly, to go a little deeper, to go deeper in him. Could it be that God is wanting us to go deeper, to go be a little deeper in him? Could it be, that you've been spending the last 12 months hearing about the theme, make room for God, yet you've been trying left, right, and center to make room for God, yet nothing is happening? Could it be that the Spirit of God is urging us to go a little deeper in him? Go deeper. I'd like to think that the man of God refused a few times just to see if this woman was really in the business of making room for God. I'd like to think that Elisha refused a few times to see if this woman really understood her big rocks. Could it be that God is wanting us to go deeper? In order to make room for God, we need to urge, we need to welcome God. We need to go a little deeper in him and see what God does. And the second lesson I believe we can learn from this woman is that, we make room for the things that we value. We make room for the things that we value. Verse 9 says, she said to her husband, she went to her husband and said, I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Full stop. I've read this text a few times before, but this time, just whilst reading it, I just kept stopping there. I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Full stop. It just hit me that, or it really hit me that this was her motivation. This was what actually drove her. Before she said anything else to her husband, her motivation was, I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. That's the motivation, full stop. And then she goes on, let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. If it's important to you, if it matters to you, you will make room for it. If you value it, you will make room for it. See, I appreciate good food. That's a sophisticated way of saying that I like to eat. See, I appreciate good food. And I'm convinced that my wife spotted this early days of our friendship. So since a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, guess what? She used to cook for us. On most Sundays after church, a few of us would actually walk down to her apartment in town and she'll cook for us. And in most cases, out of her own pocket, she'll cook for us. I come to church here in the morning, praise God, and then the food is, church is finished. We go next door for fellowship and cups of tea. Actually, would you like a cup of tea and biscuit? No, I'm okay. I'm fine, actually. Why? I was making room for us to come in the afternoon. We make room for what we value. We make room for it. Oh, next Sunday, actually, would you like a cup of tea and biscuit? No, I'm okay. I'm fine. I was making room for what was to come in the afternoon. We make room for what we value. Isn't it amazing that out of our busy schedule, in the midst of our busy schedule, that we can still find room for the things that we value? A phone rings. Ashil, what are you doing on Wednesday? Oh man, bro, I'm so busy. I'm just swamped with work. I can't do anything. I'm just busy. Oh, okay. I was just, you know, I had two Man United tickets, Champions League. I was wondering if you wanted to come with me. So at this point, obviously, you know, you want to play it cool. You don't just say, oh, okay, I'll come. No, like, you're like, you know what? Let me get back to you. A few moments later. Bro, yeah, did you say Wednesday? Yeah, bro, you know what? Your timing is perfect, actually, you know? This Wednesday, I've got room in my day. Yeah, we can. Do you know what? I'll come pick you up. We make room for what we value. What do you value? What do you value? What are you making room for? The Shunammite woman valued Elisha. He valued the presence of God. She valued it. You know, today we, like I said, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. But back then, the prophet represented the very presence of God. She's like, no, I value it. I want this to be in my house. I want this presence. I want the presence of God to dwell with me. I will make room for it. I'll make room for it. As a result, she made a conscious decision to make room for God. She went to her husband and said, Habi, you know, I know that this man that often comes our way is a holy man of God. So how about we make an extension upstairs for him? How about we make an extension for him? How about we make an extension for him? See, making an extension or the process of making an extension, it involves sitting down, examining and planning for the things that you need to get rid of. You don't just make an extension and start knocking down walls. You need to sit down and plan. It requires a planning. You need to plan. You need to make a decision of what needs to go. Have we made this a decision? Have we decided on the things that needs to go? Because if we haven't decided of what needs to go, where do we begin? Where do we begin? Where do we start? The process of extending also involves knocking down walls. The fun part, right? Hammer, knocking down walls. But you don't just knock down a wall. I can't just take a hammer and start knocking down this wall. I can't. I need a strategy. I need to put things in place before I knock down this wall. Now, as children of God, I believe there are certain giant walls in our lives that actually prevents us from having an experience with God. Unless heaven actually gives a strategy on how to knock down those walls, we find ourselves often talking about making room for God or talking about starting with the big rocks, but we don't actually do it. Why? Because we don't have a strategy. Heaven gave David a strategy to bring down Goliath. Heaven gave Joshua and the Israelites a strategy to demolish the walls of Jericho. Heaven needs to give us a strategy. Have we asked heaven for a strategy in order to knock down these walls that are before us? We need a strategy to knock down the walls that are before us. Before there can be a reconstruction, there has to be a demolition. It has to be knocked down. There are certain attitudes, certain behaviors, certain mindsets, certain beliefs, certain things that need to be knocked down. Certain walls that we've become so accustomed to over the years. Certain walls that we now tolerate. There are certain things in our lives that need to be demolished in order for us to make room for God. The Shunammite woman, she decided in her heart, you know what? I'm going to make room for God and I'm going to knock down walls. I don't care what it takes. I will knock down walls. My living room, my house will become a construction site because I want to make room for God. Are we prepared for our homes, for our houses, and I speak metaphorically here, to become a construction site in order for us to extend, to make room for the presence of God in our lives? Are we prepared for that? We make room for the things that we value. What do you value? What do you value? What do we value? And finally, the third thing I believe we can learn from the Shunammite woman's life is that we need to build our foundations with the big rocks. We need to build our foundations with the big rocks. We need to build our foundations with the big rocks. Verse 9, she said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make room, a small room for him on the roof so that we can put a bed, a table, listen to that, a chair and a lamp for him. Let's furnish this room even. It's not about just making room. Let's furnish this room for him so that whenever he comes by, he can stay there. It really hit me that this woman was way ahead of her time. She was way, way, way ahead of her time. At the time where the men of God would visit different towns and be a guest of different people, different homes, this woman said, you know what, men of God, I just don't want you to be a guest. I want you to stay in my house. I want you to dwell here. This woman actually echoed what was to take place in Acts 2, where the presence of God, the Spirit of God was no longer visiting us, but the Spirit of God was now indwelling on those who had made room for God. She was way ahead of her time, and it hit me. It really, really hit me hard. She's like, man of God, you are staying. I'm going to stand up, says, I'm going to make room for you because I want you to be the foundation of my family. I want you to be the foundation of my home. I want you to be the foundation of my children. I want you to be the foundation of my career. I want you to be the foundation of my job. Men of God, I want you to indwell, to live with us. Stay here. Don't go. Stay here. We want you here. So we'll make room for you. We will build with the men of God, with the presence of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, we heard yesterday about hearing. It starts with hearing. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And he with me. The Shunammite woman, she wanted that foundation. She wanted to open the door. She heard something within her heart spoke and she heard. She was like, I open the door for you, men of God. Come, I'll urge you to come to my house. Come. Come and dwell in this place. It's God's pleasure. It's God's pleasure that his presence will dwell with us. That's why Jesus came and he went on the cross so that God's presence can now dwell with us. Emmanuel, the Lord with us, so that he can stay with us. In order to make room for God, we need to start with the big rocks. Just these, with the big rocks. If we truly want to make room for God, we need to start with Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the big rock. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is the big rock. On Monday, this Monday, I was driving back from work. I was working around the Yorkshire area, visiting clients. And I saw the last client. I got in the car. I started driving home. And I told myself, right, I'm just going to get home quickly, as quick as I can. And then when I get home, what I'm going to do is I will do my work emails, because I've been out of the house the whole day. I'll do my work emails. And then when I'm done with my work emails, I'll get some food. And then I'll work on my message for Saturday. That was my thought. Now, whilst I was driving back home, I reached the M18. There was a massive collision on M18. Massive collision. Where most people, everyone actually, on M18, engines off for a couple of hours. Engines off. No one moved. Literally, engines off. I've been in standstills where you creep up, but this time, engines off. For 2 hours straight, engines were off. Because in my mind, I already made a decision that I'm going to get home quickly and do my work emails, et cetera, et cetera. So whilst I was there on the standstill, I picked up my work phone and I started doing work emails. Like I heard the Spirit of God speaks to me from within. And he said, Ashil, what are you doing? Why are you starting with the small rocks? It really hit me. Why are you starting with the small rocks? Why are you employing the wrong formula? Then and then, I dropped my work phone. I literally dropped my work phone. And I turned my attention, my heart, towards God. And I just started meditating on God, on the standstill traffic. As soon as I knew, I started typing out the message for today. It was just coming to the Holy Spirit, was just speaking to me then and then. And then, like, I put my head down. I didn't even realize it was literally 2 hours. Like, as soon as I put my head up, I'm like, oh, it's been 2 hours. And so on, I'm like, what's happening? No one is moving still. And then, church, I kid us not, about less than 5 minutes after I put my head up, the road was now open. And the message was pretty much finished then and then on that standstill traffic. Matthew 6:33. Major Tim, help me out. Matthew 6:33. The word of God says, seek you first what? And then what's going to happen? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. All these things that you worry about, Ashil. Your work. Your career. Your family. Your mortgage. Your food. Your clothes. Etc., etc. Everything that you worry about, Ashil Mayala. Seek ye first my kingdom. And everything else will be added unto you. In the world that encourages us to start with the small rocks, what could happen if we changed the formula this conference weekend and decided that, you know what? We will start with the big rocks. Because when the big rocks are in place, everything else will be added unto us. The word of God says, everything else will be added unto us. Where there was worry, there will be peace. Where there was bondage, there will be freedom. Where there was sickness, there will be healing. Seek me first and my righteousness, and everything else that you worry about will be added unto you. In order for us to make room for God, we have to start with the big rock himself, Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it is your pleasure for us to, for you to dwell with your people, mighty God. Father, this morning, Lord, we repent, Lord, of every time, of every moment, Lord, when we chose to prioritize the small rocks. Father, when we panicked and we forgot that you are more than enough. Father, forgive us for every time, my Lord, where we had filled our jars with the small rocks. And by the time we came to you, Lord, that we just felt tired and just there was just no more room because we've exhausted everything with the small rocks. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we thank you that you are speaking to us. Lord, we hear you, mighty God. And Father, Lord God, even as we go throughout this conference where we are themed to make room for you, Lord. Father, let it be so. Lord, may we not longer be a people that talk about making room for God or a people that talk about starting with the big rocks. Father, may we empower us, Holy Spirit. Give us the grace, Lord. Anoint us afresh, Lord. that when we wake up in the morning, God, that the first person we will start with is you, Lord, because you are the rock. Because when you are in place, Lord, everything else falls into place. When you are first, everything else falls into place. We thank you for your word this morning. And Holy Spirit, we ask that throughout this conference, Lord, may you continue to stir up our hearts. May you continue, Lord, to set that fire ablaze in our hearts to put you first. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.